Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time with Naturally 7 and Let It Be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect You. And I pray that our life goes the better, staying true with the thought of you. Oh, and I pray that these words be us who say yes.
As always, I'd like to applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday to join with me and others as we link hearts and minds across the airways, to consciously come into communion and connection with the ground of our being, God in us as us. And last week, the sacred text I shared from Acts spoke about the power that comes from the Holy Spirit, which allows us to stand strong for the things of God. And I said that we would be looking more deeply at that in the weeks to come. And as I contemplated what are the strong things for God and of God, it was easy or obvious to think about God's omnipresence, God's omniscience, God's omnipotence. And these are great words that we bandy about, and truly it doesn't really take us further or deeper into understanding what are those strong things of God, what are those deeper things of God, as our sacred text, which I will share shortly, refers to them as. We are trying to use our finite minds, our finite way of understanding things, our finite understanding, to comprehend that which is infinite. When the Bible says, my ways are not your ways, or my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, it's speaking to the fact that there is no way under the sun we will fully comprehend the allness, the fullness, the totality of all that God is. We try and snatch snippets, ideas, droplets of what God is. That is why I honor all faith traditions. Because no one religion can ever, ever have the whole concept of what the divine, the infinite is. It may have a snippet of an understanding. I've always loved the description, I think it was Matthew Fox who wrote that God is like an underground well where different religions, an underground stream where different religions have their wells going into that stream and each drawing something up. It's drawing up just a fraction of what that stream is, not the fullness or the totality of it. So each has just an aspect, a partial understanding. And so this morning as we look at what are the deep things of God, I want to put it in the context of as much as we can try and comprehend, as much as we can understand, given our finite comprehension of something that is so totally beyond us. So I want to kick off with our sacred text. And always, God, I share with you that we are to stay open to how God is forever teaching us, giving us things to learn. And I want to come back to something someone sent me in the week that, oh well, when I come to it, I'll share about that. So my sacred text this morning is from 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 16. And I want you to pay attention to how many times the word things are mentioned. And when you hear things, think of it as thoughts or thinking. And I'll elaborate when I've finished. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You see, the author of Corinthians, as he wrote of things which we can take it to be referencing the thoughts and the thinkings of God, speaking to how can we know it? We can only know these deep things of God via God's Spirit. Not the rational mind, not the finite mind, but through connecting with the subconscious infinite mind, the divine intelligence, the Christ mind, which it says we all have, can we discern the deeper things of Spirit of God. We keep using our finite mind, to think and try and understand things. We're using it with words, and words we have already established are limited. There are constructs that we've created that truly cannot define and describe the attributes that is God. God is so much more than our limited language can give us the understanding or the experience of. And so we have to allow ourselves, be opening up ourselves to discern, to understand, to receive the deeper things of God via God's Spirit, via the divine mind that is in all of us, all of the time. We forget in our moments of trials and tribulations that we have access to the divine intelligence to receive the impress, the direction, the whatever it is, the guidance, whatever it is we need in that moment. Instead, we are using, as the author said, the thoughts of the natural man. Instead of using and accessing the spirits of the divine, that is God in us as us. We have access to the deeper things of God via God's Spirit that is forever searching, as it says. It's not that God is separate from us or God plays favorites with some and not others. No. God is ever available and ever awaiting us to allow ourselves to be open to the spirit that is within us, that is ever speaking, ever directing, ever inspiring, but we are tuned out. A friend sent me a quote this week. She sends out quotes to her tribe, as she calls it, and I'm included in that, as I send out quotes to the Sunday Soul Group. But this quote she sent me, I took exception to. The quote said, no matter how good your heart is, eventually you have to start treating people the way they treat you. I texted back and said, I disagree. That is not the message or the teachings of Jesus. Jesus spoke about that if someone sued you for your coat, give them your cloak as well. If they slapped your cheek, turn the other cheek. She texted me back and said that basically I was entitled to my opinion. I was entitled to disagree. And she said potato, I said potato, whatever. I said, you know, it's your truth. I said, it's true. This is my truth. It doesn't have to be your truth. But this is the truth I choose to hold and live by. And I share that because if we are seeking to discern the deeper things of God, as Jesus continuously taught and demonstrated, then we cannot block off that which God is at the essence, at the core, at the center of our being, which is love. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should be a dog's body and that you should let people walk all over you or mistreat you. But what I am advocating for, that if we are to express the deeper things of God or stand strong in the things of God, the one thing we know that God is love. We cannot fully comprehend what that means because we come with all of our conditions about what love is. In our relationships, we know how much love we want to give, not more than they're giving, or if so, it needs to have this attached to it. We only know conditional love. But the love that Jesus taught was unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. Yes, there are people that did not resonate with him, and he simply took himself away from their company. He didn't shut them out or exclude them from love. Love is one of the deeper things of God. It is so deep, it is hard for us to comprehend and understand it. When we are looking to be more of who and what we were created to be, we are required to express this first of the many attributes we try to attribute to God, about God, that God is, even though we have finite understanding of it. God is love, and that love is so different from the human love. It is a love that has no ending or beginning, no depth or limitation, no condition. If we are to stand in the strong things of God or express the deeper things of God, as both our sacred texts are speaking to, then surely we have to be looking at any actions, any behaviors, any thoughts, any beliefs that could cause us to be acting differently from what we know God is. Jesus, our teacher, told us that we were to be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect, the Father that is within us. We can all acknowledge that's really tough. It's hard because there are people out there that we consider undeserving of our love, undeserving of our forgiveness, undeserving of our time, undeserving full stop. But if we are to express the deeper things of God, if we are to stand on the strong things of God, then we have to continuously be excavating, digging out, letting go, anything and everything that will block or stop or hinder our expression of the divine. There was a beautiful quote that I sent out with the text yesterday from Marty Corley, who says, when you realize that you are deeply loved by God, it enables you to love deeply. If we know, accept, believe in the deeper things of God, that God is love that is so beyond our false comprehension, then surely we have to be expressing that same love in who we are, as we are, to all we encounter. There is another quote that I want to share by Kevin Kerr, who says, God loves all of us so much that we are given the choice in each moment to choose between the ultimate divine truth or mental programming of the ego. You see, that mental programming of the ego is what that quote that my friend shared, well, you've hurt me or you've mistreated me, therefore I'm going to start treating you the same way. That's the mental programming of the ego, the tit for tat. But the programming of spirit is to love. When Jesus was asked by Peter how many times should he forgive 7, Jesus said no. 70 times 7. Always, 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 always the message and the admonishment is to love. To love. To love. I want to share 2 poems with you this morning, as they both were too beautiful for me to choose one. The first one was a quote that I came across yesterday, and I don't know who it's by, but it simply says, I am the wind in your hair, the sunbeam in the sky, the moss in the trees, the grass beneath your feet, the birds that fly above. I am love. The second poem, again, is unknown. He loves you supernaturally, beyond your comprehension, and above the world's understanding of what love is. There is nothing that anyone can say or think about you that can take that away from you, not even you. There is no circumstance, calamity, or disaster where God's love cannot reach you and hold you. That is the beauty, that is the depth. That is God's love. My story that I want to share this morning, for me, let me share it first and then I'll tell you why. I am one of those people who prays about everything, I told my new teacher friend Ray, as we sat on a bench in the hallway outside our classrooms. It was the end of the school day and the students had long since gone home. That's when Ray and I tended to sit and talk about everything and anything. Newly married in 1969, my husband and I had just moved over 100 miles from home in New Brighton, Pennsylvania, to the little town of Ridgeway. I got a job as a third grade teacher at the elementary school. Ray's classroom was right across the hall from mine, and we immediately felt comfortable with each other like old friends. She was also newlywed and new to the area herself. That day, our conversation had turned to our faith. I learned when I was just a child that God hears us and does answer prayer. I told her what had made me believe this without a doubt. My family was watching the nightly news on television when I learned of a Pennsylvania family who lost their home to fire. I began. A gas leak had caused an explosion. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but their home was seriously damaged. I wanted to do something, but as a child, all I could do was pray. So every night before I went to bed, I knelt at the side of my bed and prayed for this family. I asked God and His angels to surround them and take care of them. After over a year of praying, I needed to know if my prayers had helped. So I asked God to let me know what had happened to that family. Did they ever get their house back? In a few weeks, God actually answered. I told Ray. In the Sunday supplement of the newspaper, there was a story about the very family for whom I had been praying and how they had made a complete recovery. I sat back quietly, still astounded that God had provided me with the answer I needed. Describe the cover of the magazine, Ray said. I thought maybe she'd seen the same story. On the cover was a photo of that father with his son sitting on his lap. Ray remembered the cover well. That was my father and my brother, she said. Ronnie, it was my family's house that exploded and burned. You were praying for us. Over 50 years have passed since Ray and I discovered what was at the core of our deep friendship, a friendship that has lasted even after she moved clear across the state, a friendship that started with prayer long before we ever met. That, for me, is a mild example of how deep God's love is, how God's love can connect people years after one has prayed for the other, how deep God's love is that He answers our prayers, how deep God's love is, a reminder that we are here to express that same love, just as our Waisho and teacher expressed that love. My Science of Mind Needed is entitled Love Enhances. The first quote is from Reese Witherspoon. There's no bad consequence to loving fully with all your heart. You always gain by giving love. The second quote from Ernest Holmes, The Voice Celestial. Love's essence lies in its own givingness, and naught is whole without this blessedness. The author writes, love is the great surrender, where instead of leaving you empty, it fills your soul. Mother Teresa said, spread love everywhere you go. Let no one ever come to you without leaving happier. The universal flame of love consumes fear, melts away the prison bars of apprehension, and sets the soul soaring. No reason is required to become loving. It's just what your heart yearns for. That which it cannot describe, the ineffable touch of love. Love becomes you when you become love. Love graces everything it touches. One of the crazy things about love is it will interpret itself to you only when you love. In the generous giving of love, you go deep into the being a receiver of love. Spirit's life force will flow into you, through you, and out into your relationships. Recognizing the divine in those around you lifts the level of your consciousness, making you a love distributor. Every action you take, motivated by the pulse of a fully loving heart, brings the rich blessings of love in amazing ways. Love realizes itself in others and delights in the revelation of the dance of oneness. My beloved, as we look at the deeper things of God, and we look at how God loves, I'm reminded of the one commandment that Jesus told us that we were to do. Forget the doctrines and the theologies that Christians and churches like to impose. But it was very simple. He told us that we were to love one another as He loved us. that we were to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, that we were to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's the commandment that he gave us, to love. He didn't tell us to love only those that we considered worthy. He didn't tell us to love only those that treat us well. He didn't tell us just to love our friends and family or those that we consider favorable or deserving. There was no condition. There were no exceptions or exclusions. And he lived his life demonstrating it. Loving. Loving unconditionally. Loving unceasingly. Loving eternally. My beloved, if we are to understand the deeper things of God, we do have to recognize the mental programming of the ego that wants to protect us and keep us safe and stop us feeling hurt or fear or pain. But it's all part of the human experience. When we stop or start closing our hearts down to one, it is not them that is being punished, but we ourselves that are being punished. And just remember it's attributed to the Buddha, who said that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Yes, there'll be pain of the letting down and betrayals or people or friends or whoever not turning up as we want them to or expect them to. But how long we choose to suffer is up to us. How long we choose to feel hurt by it is up to us. How long we are going to be disappointed by them, that is up to us. But if we stand on the strong things of God, if we acknowledge the deeper things of God, we know that love is the answer. Love is the cure. Love is the reason for being. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within, to honor and give gratitude for this holy body temple that we reside in, that the Spirit of the Living God has given us. So let us take 3 deep breaths as we center ourselves. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the breath of God. That Job said, it is the Spirit of God that has made us. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives us life. Exhale. Inhale. Slowly. For the third and final time, inhale. Exhale. Place your hand on your heart. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the heart does as it pumps that life-giving blood around your body temple. And now affirm. As you inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in love. Exhale, affirm, this is my breath as I breathe out cruelty. Inhale, this is my breath as I breathe in joy. Exhale, this is my breath as I breathe out Place your hands at your back, at your lower back where your kidneys are. Take a moment to acknowledge the gratitude for the work of the kidneys as it eliminates the waste and the toxic substances from your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in gentleness. exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out here. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in calmness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out stress. Bring attention to your liver on the right side of your body under the rib cage. And acknowledge with gratitude how the liver detoxifies the blood, cleans it, and combats infections. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in kindness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anger. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in generosity. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out frustration. Now bring your attention to your lungs. Take a moment and acknowledge with gratitude the work that the lungs do as it brings in air from the atmosphere, passes the oxygen through your bloodstream around your body. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in honesty. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out depression. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in courage. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out sadness. Bring attention down to your stomach. Take a moment to acknowledge with gratitude the work that the stomach does as it stores and mixes and breaks down food that gives you the energy and the nourishment that you need. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in fairness. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out anxiety. Inhale. This is my breath as I breathe in trust. Exhale. This is my breath as I breathe out worry. Take a moment to acknowledge all of the systems within the body that operate on an unconscious level without you giving instructions or directions. The skeletal, the nervous, the muscular, the respiratory, the endocrine, the immune, the cardiovascular, the circulatory, the urinary, the integumentary, the reproductive, digestive system. All of these systems operating for you to have good health. So now affirm, the divine within me is wholeness, and my mind reflects this wholeness into every organ, every function, every action, every reaction of my physical being, renewing it after the perfect pattern, the Christ within me. Take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. Always you're invited to include anything or anyone that is in need of prayer at this time. And we hold in our hearts those members of our community that are still recovering from hospital procedures. We know that there is nowhere where God is not. That God is the spirit, the energy, the life force that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into your presence this morning, we ask that we open up our hearts and minds to understand the deeper things of you. That we might stand strong on the things of God, so that we truly can work towards being perfect as you are perfect, as our teacher, our way shower, told us. Let us understand that love does not have an on-off switch. but is continuously in the on mode. That we are here to experience and express the love that is at the center and the core of our being. That love is our reason for being here. To express it unlimitedly, unceasingly, unconditionally. Not to some or a few, but to all. Even when we are hurt, used, or mistreated, let us not shut down our hearts to love and being loving. Let us bless those who may not understand this truth and are acting out of fear or limitation or lack. Let us be the divine expressions of your life, of your love, of your spirit that you created us to be. Mother, Father, God, we're holding in our hearts all of your children at this time that need a healing. There is so much need in our world at this time. There are those that need healing on the physical level. There are those that need healing on an emotional or mental level. There are those that need healing on a financial or social or professional level. You know, healing is when we are asking for that which allows the perfect and right expression of your spirit in us, through us, as us. So for anything and everything that stops that perfect and right expression, we ask for a healing now. Mother, Father, God, with so much that is happening across our globe, sometimes it is challenging to see a world that is peaceful, that is loving, that is accepting. But nevertheless, let us strive to see in our mind's eye a world that works for all sentient beings, the winged, the finned, the hoof, the two-legged, the four-legged. We seek to see a world where corruption and injustice no longer exist, where humanity sees itself as a strand in the web of life and not the web. We're seeing a world where all people, all sentient beings are accepted, for we know oneness with you and oneness with each other. When we feel overwhelmed with all that is happening, let us come back and remember to hold the vision of oneness. Mother, Father, God, for anything I have failed to ask, I know you will not fail to bless. For you said, before you call, I will answer. While you yet speak, I have heard. You are beyond words. To you who are beyond our comprehension and finite understanding, to you we give all glory, honor, and praise. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, your eternal mercies, we are ever grateful. So it is. And so it is. And so it is. Take a deep breath in as we do our movement prayer this morning. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers and affirm, I am one with all that is. Cross your hands, palms down over your heart and affirm, I am love expressing in human form. Bring your hands together as if in prayer, in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words that uplift and are positive. Drop your hands to your sides, palms open, facing outwards and affirm, I'm grateful for every blessing in my life. Bend your elbows, make small circles with your wrists, and affirm. I release all limiting thoughts and beliefs. Take a deep breath in as I mute the phones for our morning's affirmations and Buddhist reflections. Repeat after me our Science of Mind affirmation. I love fully.
I love fully.
With all my heart and all my soul.
With all my heart and all my soul.
Our Buddhist reflections. If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
If anyone has hurt or harmed me.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
In thought, word, or deed.
I freely forgive them. And I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone. Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed. I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself and I am at peace. I accept myself and I am free. May I feel protected and safe. Contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy.
May all beings be happy.
May they be peaceful. The loves. Oh, our prayer of intention. I am the light of God within and without. Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without. Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without. Manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God within and without. Eternal and unceasingly. Our Rumi quote for this week. Rumi says, leave the temporary love, because real love is God's love. So as we come towards the close of our Sunday Soul this week, just to remind you, we will have our midweek prayer, our 10-minute top-up on Thursday, as always. And my closing benediction. When the noise and haste surround you and threaten to take you hostage, may God's gentle voice soothe you and guide you to a place of quiet strength. When the days seem cold and dark and the nights unbelievably long, may God's smile illumine and warm you from within. When you feel alone and dismal, may God send someone to you with a daisy. May you truly go forth in joy and be led back in peace. May all creation sing around you, and may the weeds of mourning turn into flowers wherever you walk. So we will be continuing next week with the deeper things of God. And my closing song is one of my favorites. It's by Vu, and it's entitled Most High. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you. But as much as I do, that's the Most High by Who. Beloved, I wish you a very blessed and happy Sunday and a wonderful week to come. As always, peace and blessings.
Thank you.